May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 3, especially these words. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, in the year 1530, 13 years after the posting of the 95 Theses, which we commemorate today, 9 years after Luther was excommunicated from the church, in the city of Augsburg, Germany, before the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, and various other church officials, the Lutherans, led by Luther, who wasn't there, but Philip Melanchthon, they presented a document containing 28 articles detailing what they, the Lutherans, believed. The emperor had requested this be done so that he and all the church could hear what the Lutherans intended, what they were proposing, what theological changes they were looking for. These 28 articles came to be known as the Augsburg Confession. If you've been reading the newsletter, we've been posting these throughout the year in the newsletter. In response to the Augsburg Confession, the Roman church officials wrote a counter document called the Confutation. This work described where Rome agreed with the Lutherans and where they disagreed. Now, the first three articles of the Augsburg Confession are titled Concerning God, Concerning Original Sin, and Concerning the Son of God. It turns out today we may actually differ with other denominations on some of the points of these articles, especially things like original sin and Jesus being fully divine and fully human. But in Luther's day, the Roman Church said they agreed with the Lutherans. That's pretty good. It's a good start. The first three articles, Rome had nothing negative to say about what the Lutherans said. But then we get to Article 4. The title of Article 4 is Concerning Justification. Here's what the Augsburg Confession says. We teach that human beings cannot be justified before God by their own powers, merits, or works, but they are justified as a gift on account of Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into grace and that their sins are forgiven on account of Christ, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. With this, the Roman Church could not agree. They responded, Nevertheless, all Catholics confess that our works of themselves have no merit, but that God's grace makes them, that is, our works, worthy of eternal life. So what they're saying is, your works on their own aren't worth anything, but God gives you his grace, and now you are able to do good works, and those good works satisfy God and give you salvation and eternal life. So you need grace, but you also need to cooperate with grace in order to be saved. And things went downhill from there. The Lutherans' attempts to reform the church, to realign the church's teaching solely around the Word of God, to have the church once more reformed and formed by God's Word alone, failed. There would not be agreement between Rome and the Lutherans, and there has not been since. And if you appreciate nothing else about the Reformation, know that at its core are the words from this morning's text. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You have been declared righteous, right, just, in the sight of God, because Jesus, who is righteous and right and just in his entire being, died for your sin. Period. That's the only reason. By faith, a gift given you by the Holy Spirit, you are able to grab hold of that promise to trust solely in the merits of Jesus for your salvation. Oh, the Lutherans didn't question that Christians must do good works. Quite the contrary. That was never in doubt. For you, dear Christian, are called to do good works. You are called to flee away from evil. But that is not what saves you. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, period. Let's consider the text a little more closely. Paul says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You are part of that all, and so am I. All means all. Every single one of us has failed to live up to God's commands. Every single one of us has sinned. Every single one of us was conceived and born sinful. Sin is not confined to the bad stuff that you do. It defines our nature. It is a sickness, a disease which our parents had that we have inherited since our conception. Now, the human heart being what it is, we seek to justify ourselves. We make excuses for what we do, what we say, even what we think. We are self-justification machines. When God accuses, we make excuses. Well, that person made me angry, or what I'm doing doesn't hurt anybody, or everybody's doing it. That's just the culture we live in. Or, well, at least I'm better than that guy. Or my personal favorite, well, I haven't killed anyone. No matter how we rationalize our sin, no matter how we try to excuse it, sin is still sin. It is offensive to our holy God. Now, we may try to overcome sin by our own efforts. We might picture God as some cosmic accountant keeping track of all the bad that we've done and all the good we've done, I guess like Santa Claus. If we do enough good, we gain heaven. If we do too much bad, well, we go to that other place. But God tells us, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. God's law shows us our sin. It is a mirror, and not a very flattering one. God's law says, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to cause God to save you. You're not good enough to get into heaven by your own works. You and I simply don't measure up. Our self-justification efforts will always fail. We need someone else to justify us, because we cannot do it ourselves. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And to justify us, Jesus had to come down from heaven, was begotten by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on a Roman cross and was raised again on the third day. All this he did for you. He who was a friend of tax collectors and sinners is your friend. He did this so that our God would be just and would punish sin as it deserved, but wouldn't punish you, so that he would save us sinners. Jesus assumes all of your sin. He takes it into himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He carried your sin to the cross and willingly allowed God's wrath over sin to pour out upon him. so it wouldn't pour out upon you. For Jesus' blood justifies you. Jesus' blood covers you. God put Christ forward as a propitiation for sin, to be received by faith. Sin had to be atoned for, blood had to be shed, but not yours. You and I were incorporated into his death, into his blood, into his resurrection. As St. John says in his first epistle, this Jesus is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. The waters of baptism cover you with Jesus' blood. Paul tells us in Romans and in Galatians that baptism is like dying and being reborn. Actually, it's like, well, it's not like, it incorporates you into Christ's death and his resurrection. The justification, the forgiveness won for you at the cross is made personal to you. It is handed over to you. It is poured out upon you in your baptism. And the Holy Spirit sustains you in that faith, the faith given to you in the water and the word. You take hold of the atonement through faith. That is the only way. It is all God's doing. Jesus' death, God did. Your baptism, God did. Your faith, God gives. All who believe this promise stand before God the Father justified, declared righteous, right before God, perfect and holy in his sight. God gives us forgiveness, salvation, and life. For we are justified by faith in Jesus apart from works of the law. This is the gospel. This is what Reformation Day is all about. This is what the reformers were fighting for themselves, for their children, for the generations to come, for us 500 years removed. This is what it's all about. The Reformation wasn't a social one. It wasn't change for the sake of change. These weren't simply repressed Germans full of resentment that they lived in the backwater of Europe. No, they wanted the church to believe what was right and what was true, because it matters. It matters for people. It matters for you. For those of you that have lived or been surrounded by false teaching, you know this is true. What we believe matters. False teaching can lead to one of two extremes: self-righteousness on the one hand, or utter despair on the other hand. But we teach, as Paul teaches, as Christ teaches, that all sinners are justified by God's grace as a gift, pure gift. We teach that human beings cannot be justified before God by their own powers, merits, or works, but they are justified as a gift on account of Christ's sake through faith when they believed that they are received into grace and that their sins are forgiven on account of Christ, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.